3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Welcome to the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust. And we celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future. All related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm Stephanie Weirwill, EVP of Engagement here at BPD, and I am your host today, and I am joined in this episode by two of our lovely guests. First of all is our co-host, Chris Wickline, SVP of Strategy. Hi, Chris. Good to have you.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you today?
I'm so good. I'm excited for this conversation because I think it's really timely and interesting.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome. And to a recurring guest star, Mika Siegel, who is precision marketing and data strategist at BPD. Hi, Mika. Glad to have you back.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be back. Looking forward to
Yay. You're practically a co-host at this point.
A few times. We're getting yes. Better.
So as I mentioned, this is a really timely topic, and we're all gathered here today because it is 2025 planning season. We are at the beginning of October, and for most systems who work on a calendar year basis, we are deep into planning season. Some, of course, have already done planning for FY25, depending on when that starts, but many marketers are heads down, wrapping up budgets and plans for 2025. So if you're already ahead of the game, you might have things signed, sealed, delivered. Congrats to you. That's awesome. Cheers. But for others, you might be in it right now. And I'll just ask Chris and Mika, how much are you all into 2025 planning at this moment? Is it a big focus for you?
Yeah, for some of our clients, for sure. And I'd love to say that it's October 9th, and that most people are sitting pretty good. I don't know of anybody who's got them wrapped, though, which is an interesting dynamic. Sometimes that comes a little later than we'd like. What are you seeing, Mika?
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing a lot of clients asking about budget cuts, looking at how they can either work with what they have, work with working with less available dollars in their budget. So looking at how we improve ROI, improve efficiencies, and really help drive patient volumes and improve brand preference. So a lot of questions from clients, a lot of needs with less dollars, and how we can help them make that all work for them.
Yeah. So to that point, yes. This is the moment when conversations get tough, sometimes heated, sometimes hot. For some, it's an exciting moment of where, you know, budgets are higher, but you can't have a planning season without talking about a budget. So we're going to really focus this episode on exactly what you just talked about, Mika, which is, you know, where are we budget-wise as health systems and how do we have those difficult conversations? So Chris, is there anything you want to add? So it sounds like you're doing a lot of 2025 planning. What are you seeing across the nation regarding budgets? Are you seeing similar to what Mika just mentioned, or are you seeing differences?
Well, certainly seeing some of that, but I do think it's a tale of two cities, right? I think we have some systems that are in a pretty good spot financially, you know, based on where their market is, and you know, they're looking at kind of holding the line or maybe even a little bit of growth, while others, again, in different geographies are really kind of struggling, right? Because of the state of their business. It does feel like a kind of a tale of two cities. And then it still feels like there's uncertainty, a fair amount of uncertainty, you know, because of the economy at the moment. We're still not out of the woods when it comes to workforce issues in many locations. We've got, you know, optimistic economic measures, but I ask anybody to introduce me to an optimistic CFO. it just is kind of not in the nature of how we think about our world. And then I think, you know, there's, the election cycle, and that's creating some level of uncertainty in what's going to happen. Of course, there's world events. And then lastly, tech, oh my goodness, the investments, you know, that systems are looking at making in tech. So, you know, I think there's so many factors coming in that are causing our organizations to really think differently based on all those things.
Yeah, that was a really great summary. Yes, I think uncertainty is the trend word, the watchword right now, where you're right, there are some that are in a really good spot and it's awesome. But for the most part, folks are sort of looking a little conservatively ahead. And yes, a CFO's job is to be realistic and is to make sure that everyone's going to be in a good spot down the road. So that's really where we'll dig into our conversation here is how do marketers and specifically marketing leaders and CMOs have those tough conversations with the realists in the room, with the finance folks, with the chief financial officers and others that are helping to set those budgets. So maybe we'll do something a little different this time. Maybe we do a little bit of a, we'll kind of back and forth go through some scenarios if y'all are up for it. Okay. Just to set the stage, I think just, you know, we've been sitting with CMOs for the last, well, forever, but for the last year or so, we've really been sitting with CMOs around a topic called Rome is Burning. And we've covered that topic on the show, which is the shifting of the CMO role due to all kinds of factors. And you just shared some of those, Chris, you know, which are things like the uncertain environment. But a few specific ones that we found are, you know, of course, there's access issues and long wait times that are happening. There's the continued struggle to measure marketing performance, i.e. pixel mayhem or the pixel purge or all kinds of different ways to talk about that. Some systems are in a great place and they're measuring, others are not. And then, you know, we've seen even elimination of CMO roles at health systems. And we talk about that a lot on our Rome is Burning platform, which sort of side note, we're going to dive deeply into at the Joe Public Retreat at, in December. So for anybody who wants to dig into that topic, we'll be in sunny Charleston talking through it. But this conversation today, it's not really about Rome is Burning, but I think we have to kind of talk about the two together. And that is because the CMO role is really to set up the whole marketing team for success. And that has to happen on an ongoing basis. And that has to happen before budgeting season, ideally, and during budgeting season. So I'm just going to share a few quotes of things that we've heard for CMOs from CMOs as we've had these discussions. And then we'll use these quotes and these themes to kind of jump into some scenarios of, you know, how do you solution this? So some of the quotes that we've heard are, you know, first of all, marketers have to speak finance. We've got to constantly be merchandising internally the ROI of what we do regarding contribution margin and revenue. Another CMO said, budget pressures are coming from my CFO, and that person doesn't believe or understand what marketing does for the organization. And another one said, I'm in a good spot because of the relationships that I've internally built over the course of the year or years with the C-suite across finance, HR, strategy, clinical leads, and my CEO. So these quotes paint sort of a high-level picture of what it takes, and it takes quite a bit. And as you said, Chris, these are different, you know, tale of two cities, or, you know, different stories, different sides of the same story. But it takes these ongoing relationships. So maybe I'll just pause here. I want to see, Mika, as you hear these quotes, I know your data brain is going. I know your wheels are going about what it takes to really do this. So what it takes to speak finance, what it takes to merchandise the value of ROI, what it takes to highlight the importance of what marketing does and what it takes to really be in this relationship, this good relationship spot. So I want to first turn it to you before we get into our scenarios and see from a data standpoint, how can CMOs set themselves up and their team for success to be in a good spot from a budget standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first step is really looking at a crawl, walk, run approach and looking at, you know, in-house, utilizing first-party data, looking at volumes, referral patterns, you know, things are driving the business. And it may not be a direct correlation between a marketing campaign for, let's say, you know, cardiac as an example for a service line volume driving that, you know, your marketing efforts drove that volume. But there's some correlations that we could apply that the volumes increased from a cardiac surgeon or cardiac cardiologist appointment had a factor from our marketing efforts. So it's really starting to look at that first party data, your in-house capabilities, and understanding what you can do with your own data. And even something more sophisticated with like a run or a walk approach would be something like a precision campaign. We can really get into the details and understand the one-to-one correlation through marketing effort. So it's really sort of starting in that easy approach of that crawl with first-party data, looking at your lift volumes, and all the way up to a precision campaign of being able to attribute a one-to-one ROI and volume lift from a marketing effort.
I love that. The work you do is just so awesome. I think it's so wonderful that you and your team are just equipping marketers with this kind of data on an ongoing basis. Because, you know, to your point, there's a lot that goes into this. And finance folks, as just like clinicians, are data-driven and data-based. And so we can't have a budget negotiation unless we're bringing forward that data constantly.
Exactly. We got to show them what the proof is.
Yes. Okay. So with that backdrop of what marketers are thinking and the importance of bringing ongoing data, we're going to play a little game. This game is called Negotiating with Finance. In TikTok reference, anyone of our, are we looking for a guy in finance? Just me? Okay.
I have no clue what you're talking about, Stephanie.
Oh, so the girl on couch?
No.
Okay, no. Okay.
I know the finance bros, but that's about it.
Okay, well, so I'm going to play the role of girl in finance. So I will play the role of, we'll do three scenarios of CFO says. And I'll kind of give this example and then turn it to each of you to be the marketer and say, you know, how do we bring forward the right data and what is the conversation? So scenario one, CFO says, we're cutting marketing budgets this year. Dun, dun, dun. As an AMC, we have really strong referrals and that's where we get the bulk of our high margin revenue. And so one place that we can drive efficiencies is to cut overall marketing budget because we believe that we're going to have strong volume anyway because of our strong referrals. So I think I'll turn this to you, Mika, first. As a health system marketer, what do you say to that?
Yeah, it's definitely true that, you know, physicians do drive that volume. You know, there really is that direct correlation to patient lift from the referrals, you know, both in and out of network. But without the marketing campaigns that we're able to achieve within, you know, the community, it's really helping to drive that brand preference, right? I use the example of, you know, like Coke or Pepsi or a car, right? Everyone knows who those brands are and they have that brand awareness. But what they're selling is really that idea and a sense of belonging or feeling through their product, or in our case, our service line. So without being in the market and having a campaign, we're losing that opportunity to drive that brand preference, right? Everybody knows who Coke is. They're not selling the drink. They're selling their preference. And really helping to sort of using that analogy, health systems need to lean into that capability to drive that brand preference and ultimately, and sometimes awareness too, right? Not every system has that greater brand presence, but both that preference and awareness. And without being in the market, we can see definitely competitors, you know, sort of scooping up that opportunity to be in the market there that we're not. And, you know, having that brand, overarching brand preference and awareness campaigns, if, you know, your volume is really coming from the physicians, really leaning into that brand preference is a huge piece of the campaign effort to help them make that brand preference stronger.
I mean, you know, I think if you also think about it, like there's only a specific number of people in the market for a particular service at any one point in time, right? So, you know, your referring physicians are, of course, driving those people who are actively low funnel and seeking care. But, you know, there's also folks who are more mid funnel. They might just be in initial stages of investigating a particular health need. So again, the sooner that you can kind of remain kind of top of mind and in the consideration set for folks, it's super important. You know, there's only so much volume of people right now needing care.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really... Go ahead. Sorry. We're both so excited. Go ahead, Mika.
Absolutely. And that's where, you know, the first party data, you know, bringing that back comes into play, where we can lean into that first party data to understand, you know, from a metric standpoint and efficacy that our efforts are driving volume there through those referral patterns. So it all ties together.
Yeah, it really does. And one thing that we've done quite often for systems is a market assessment up front to really understand what is the total share that's possible. So to your point, Chris, I love that point that, you know, there's only so many people that are actually looking for a specific service at a given time. So now look at it in an aggregate. What is the total opportunity across all service lines? And then what is the opportunity that we can actually create, right? What can we build and create that maybe isn't coming in from referrals and from patterns? And so how do we look at that and understand really, here's the total opportunity that we can grow and build from a business perspective? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that was a fun one. Let's move to CFO says two. So number two, scenario two, CFO says, budgets are flat this year, but we need to find efficiencies anywhere and everywhere we can. Hey, marketing, how can your team do more with less this year? So, Mika, you were the first one to mention earlier the word efficiencies, which I'm hearing all over the place. So dig into this one. Tell us, as a healthcare marketer, what do you say to this?
Yeah, it's definitely being efficient with how you plan your campaign, right? Efficiencies meaning not just from the tactics that you choose or where you put your dollars and your investments from the marketing tactics and channels, but even as I sort of go back to the data side, is looking at how you apply data to be more efficient in your campaign. So identifying opportunities in your own communities and own demographics of different patient types, different consumer types, and leaning into those understandings of how we can market to those individuals where they are, and spending the dollars more wisely, and understanding that a dollar can go further if you know how and where to market to those individuals versus just putting up a billboard. Great for that brand preference and awareness piece, but when we're trying to spend more efficiently and effectively, some of the tactics, like some of those digital pieces, can lean into that and being smarter about how you apply those investment dollars to the campaign. And a big way that is through data, whether it be first party data, third party data, focusing on a market's PSA and SSA is really a good starting point to be more effective and efficient in how we run a campaign.
Yeah, I love that. But I would also say, I'm going to sound like the crotchety old gal of the group here, that I've been around the block a little bit. I've never not been in a year where somebody hasn't been driving to efficiency, right? So it's always a consideration. That said, you know, the challenge is, you know, we've been through a lot in the last 4 or 5 years, and it's just been, you know, it's been brutal. I think, you know, from my vantage point as a strategist, it's also about, you know, knowing, and I think that's what you were also saying, Mika, is where can you make the best bets and investment? But I think sometimes what we struggle with is we struggle with saying what we won't do. And as things continue to tighten, we try and do a little bit of everything. And I think perhaps, you know, we could, which maybe doesn't, again, optimize our opportunities. It feels good because we're shaving a little bit off of everything. But at the same time, are we really being intellectually honest and delivering the value to our organization? So I love the idea of using data and analytics, as well as other prioritization tools to really say, where do we really focus and what can we do to say to the organization, this is why I have to need to focus. This is also why I can't do everything. And, you know, making those tough strategic choices about what we won't do. So,
yeah. And maybe it's even, you know, I'll pick on my own question here. Maybe it's even, hey, CFO, the question is a little bit off. It's not how can the team do more with less, but it is, as you all are saying, how do we use data to really prove and show what's going to get the most impact? So I love your point, Chris, of if we were to focus our efforts and maybe we realize this is the really critical, valuable audience, for example, or this is a really important service line for these reasons, or we do need to build the brand this year or whatever it is. If we put more here, it's going to get us more. And Mika, you were mentioning, you know, let's bring forward the data to make that case. Let's do that on a regular basis so that everyone is read in on, hey, next year, we're going to put more here and less there. And it may not be a lower budget overall or a flat budget overall, but it is like, here's how we can get you more in general.
Yeah. And I think just to add to that, it's okay to say, we have to be okay saying no, right? So you talk about, you know, we can't do everything all the time and being able to use the data to help inform our decisions to be able to say no and telling, you know, a CFO or a service line that this is not the right opportunity, that we can't do everything for you and that running, you know, I hate to pick on podiatry, but sometimes podiatry comes up as a campaign that we've seen that we want to run. Maybe not the best choice of dollars and investment on a podiatry campaign when there's other different types of campaigns that we should be running for a service line. And that we need to be able to use the data to help inform our decisions. And sometimes that's a hard choice to make and be able to say no, because we can't do everything.
And it's true. And I know you're picking on podiatry. So, you know, but here's the deal. There are sometimes reasons we need to make investments. in what seemingly doesn't yes. make any business sense. I get that. And I make those recommendations sometimes because there's a different reason if it's a low investment. But here's where CFO buddies can help us. It's like if you can show the dollars, we need to make the case with leaders, because a lot of times we just really struggle when we get, you know, when we get really pushed by influential leaders in the organization. And that's where CFOs can really kind of help us carry the water a bit.
Finance is our friend, right?
That's right. Yes. Exactly. Not our enemy. Finance is our friend.
I think that's a Nemo quote, finance is friends.
Yes, it is.
Anybody
yes.
remember the fish are friends? Okay.
Yep, fish are friends, not food.
There you go. Yeah. But truly, like finance is a friend. And I love the idea, Chris, of, you know, I mean, even BPD is an agency that that's our job sometimes is being the ones that can say, okay, this is smarter than that, and here's why, and empowering our clients with the data and the recommendations to go then actually loop in finance and say, hey, as a friend, as a partner, how can we do this together to put focus over here and not there?
Yeah. So. And just always remembering it's a balance of left brain and right brain. There are a lot of things health systems wouldn't do if it was based simply on finances, right? So we have to acknowledge some of that, but yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay.
So, marketers are not food. I think that's, yeah. is that what we're saying? Marketers are not, you cannot eat marketers for lunch.
Yeah. Be nice to right. us. Exactly.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. Scenario three, CFO says, so the CFO says, we're cutting marketing budgets. Do you see a trend on these scenarios? because of course, you know, we're picking up on the difficult ones. So CFO says we're cutting marketing budgets. We have major access challenges. We have long wait times. Patients can't get appointments and we need to fix that first. Why would we have marketing out there and running if we can't get people in the door? So this scenario is one we've talked a lot about in our Roma's Burning platform. So Chris, I know that this is a hot topic for you. So how do you react to this challenge?
I mean, you know, it's 100% legit. There are going to be services where we should not be supporting with marketing due to capacity. I mean, bottom line, it's wasted money. Agree with you, Mr. CFO, 100%, right? I think sometimes the things that we miss are as marketers, we may not be as in touch with volumes, or volumes are so, you know, it's a dynamic environment. Sometimes they change quickly. If you're a smaller system, you know, just losing a physician can have a major impact, right? So it's constantly staying attuned to that. It's also, I mean, use a little bit of your spidey senses. If you sense that it's a precarious situation, that there's access challenges, it's good now, but you suspect there may be access challenges coming. Make the case. You got other places to place your bets, right? So, and you know, that's often a situation that we're faced with, that, you know, we have to make recommendations to clients. I think, you know, second of all, you know, we also have to think about the fact that we don't just do service line marketing, right? So this idea of, you know, brand building, Amika hit on it a little bit earlier, right? We can't just focus on bottom of funnel. And there's a couple of different constructs that we talk about in our work. You know, we talk about the living, thinking, solving moments, what we talked about before, that, you know, solving moments are when folks are actually seeking care. They're looking for a doctor, doing a procedure. Thinking moments is when they may be just realizing they have a health issue. And living moments are those moments where we spend the vast majority of our time as consumers. We're not thinking about healthcare needs at all. So our brands have to be our brands have to be present, because the reality is that those investments in service line marketing are really more short-term activation focused with more limited impact, where brand building has, you know, has longer term effect. And that's a principle called, you know, the long and the short of it, which is really kind of a foundational principle that, you know, that we really believe in. So those, you know, those are a few things that I would tee up.
Yeah, I love all of those. I mean, I think the first one that you started with, I always love a yes and in maybe what might be in negotiation, which is yes, absolutely. You know, we do have access challenges, and so we shouldn't market in service lines where there is no, you know, availability. And so here's the data that we have. Back to data. Here's the data that we have to show this service line does have, you know, the availability or the capacity. And so this is the one we're going to focus on and here's what we'll get for it. I think the overall story here is, even though we're starting each of these scenarios with the we're cutting marketing budgets or it's flat, obviously the ultimate goal is to be able to go, here's the best way to spend, and or here's where if we put more, we would get more. So I love your point there, Chris.
I do think, though, we can't forget the long-term kind of education that we need to do within our organizations. Because, I mean, just being real, and I've worked in other industries, and, you know, a lot of times marketing isn't viewed as at a leadership role at a health system, or when it comes to making investment decisions. And brand building, you know, is something that a lot of our organizations don't understand, right? So we have to really play the long game. We can't wait till budget season to start trying to tell our story. You know, again, the influence chops that CMOs and health systems have to have is just so amazing to me. And I see so many people who really do well at that, but it's deliberate. What does building a brand mean, right? And so just as much as we need to learn, you know, CFO speak, we need to help them understand consumer speak and what that means for marketing investment. So
I think that's it's a wonderful rally cry for us to kind of wrap on, but I think that's a key takeaway here, because, you know, I think BPD has some really long-term clients that are in really good spots from a budget standpoint. And that's because of that. It's because of what you just mentioned, Chris. It's because of the fact that, you know, finance is friend and that there's been a long-term relationship building, and that, you know, finance speaks consumer and marketing speaks finance, and everyone understands what they're doing and it's all aligned. And that's, you know, really the end goal. And, you know, our job is to empower with data along the way. That's Mika's job, right? Mika, your whole team is focused on doing that. And I think that's just so, so exciting.
For sure. So go forth and influence and use that. I always get it mixed up. Left brain, right brain, I can never remember it, which is a data driven side.
Left data, right creative. Is that right?
Got it.
No, other way around. Left is
other
creative.
Way around.
I'm left-handed, so there's some. If you're left-handed, you're in your right mind, because right minds are that. Then left side brain is creative side. There's a whole thing, but yeah.
Hey, all. This is Mari, and I am the producer of the No Normal Podcast. And I just wanted to come on here just to do a quick fact check. It looks like per Google, it does say that when you are using the left side of your brain, you are actually using the logical side of your brain. And when you are using the right side of your brain, you're actually using the creative side of your brain. So just wanted to give you all that cool information. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Well, okay. You need both. Well, data's our friend, right? For sure.
Data's our friend.
We'll fact check ourselves. Right. Yeah. Fact checking. Live fact checking happening here on the No Normal. Okay. Well, thank you all for chatting. I don't know. This is an important and awesome conversation. So we can keep chatting throughout the year and keep checking in on where folks are and what data is needed. But thank you, Chris, for an awesome convo.
Yeah, Stephanie. Thanks, Mika.
Yes. Thank you,
Mika. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. It was great. Great conversation.
Yay. Okay. Well, Mika, I'm sure you'll be back soon. Every time we end that way, and then, you know, the next day you get a phone call. But for everyone listening, for everyone listening, thank you so much for joining in. If you ever want us to cover something specific or chat further, shoot us an email at nonormal@bbdhealthcare. And as always, give us a little review, thumbs up, all the things. Don't be satisfied with the normal. Don't be satisfied with your budgets. Push that no normal and push that finance relationship. And we'll talk to you soon. 3.